Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Today on the show, Erica Mosco from the Rib Fest joins us to talk about the exciting things coming up with this year's festival. Gaylen Weidlich from the Wood Buffalo Community Foundation also joins us to discuss the work they are doing in the community. Lastly, Staff Sergeant Sabrina Clayton joins us to discuss the Wood Buffalo RCMP's new safe exchange zone located in the detachment's parking lot. Joining me on the phone here today is Erica Mosco from the Fort McMurray Rib Fest. Erica, how's it going here today?
Fabulous. Excited to be here.
Hey, glad to have you here. Rib Fest going on tour again this summer. It's got to be exciting to be bringing this event around Western Canada, including a couple stops to Fort McMurray.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be a part of the events planned in Fort McMurray this year. I know how much it means to the community. I know how many people have this as one of their favorite events, myself included. So getting to get my hands in there and to help make it bigger and better, couldn't be happier.
Maybe give us a glimpse of the history of Rib Fest. How did it kind of kick off in Fort McMurray, and how's it grown since?
Oh, I feel like it's been going on for several years. I was actually just pulling up its track record here with the Best of YMM Awards. 2019 won Best Community Event, 2021 Best Social Distancing Event, 2022 Best Special Event, and just last year, 2023, won Best Festival. It's kind of changed hands over the years of who's been running it. This year it's going to be run by Ribs Unlimited, which is really exciting. I feel like they bring a lot of professionalism and really well organized and give us access to some names and some facility stuff that maybe we didn't have before. So, you know, it's going to take it. I think it's just going to be next level this year.
Yeah, give us a glimpse of, the two stops in Fort McMurray. Again, the first one coming up in June. What can people expect at Rib Fest if they've never been?
So it's the big outdoor festival is happening this year, June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. That's going to be down at Sni Point Park. There's going to be lots of activities for the family, face painting, bouncy castles. Don't want to give too much away. Some of the things are still in the works, but we're hoping to have a few activities, treasure hunt style things, amazing race style activities. So you can come down with the family and really make a day of it. And then moving into the evenings, what Rib Fest is really known for is the music and the bands. So they have a lot of big things in the works for the Friday and Saturday evenings. And then the Labor Day long weekend, which traditionally has been the festival at Sni, they're swapping the weekends that they normally do it for 2024. And now the Labor Day long weekend, we will be doing the drive-through Rib Fest, which will take place at Center Fire Place.
Awesome to hear. I understand Rib Fest has been a bit of a tradition in Fort McMurray for a few years now. What keeps this event coming back?
The community. I mean, I know that sounds like a really simple answer, but it is. I mean, all the awards that Rib Fest has won has all been community voted. People keep showing up and coming out for it, and you know, those numbers is what keep it coming back. Last year, over the weekend, they saw about 18,000 people come through the event, and this year, you know, we're hoping to see 20,000 people come through the event. And Fort McMurray doesn't disappoint. People love a good event to go out to, and there's not really anything else like Rib Fest. I know Fort McMurray has a ton of events. It's one of the reasons why I love the city so much. But who doesn't like good barbecued food, music, outdoors, good weather?
And there's more than just eating at the Rib Fest. According to the website, anyway, there's something for the really the whole family that weekend.
There is. You know, I myself have little kids. I love taking them down to Rib Fest, and they enjoy running around the green space. But then even as an adult, you know, get the babysitter for the evening and come down and check out the bands and the music and have yourself a drink and a bite to eat yourself.
Food vendor applications for the Fort McMurray event are open until May 1st. How can people apply?
The best way to find a lot of our information is through our Facebook page. Wood Buffalo Rib Fest on Facebook has all the information. That's where any calls out to the community we have. I know, we're trying to book some local talent, local vendors. Again, we're open really to any ideas. So any local organizations or community members, if you see it be beneficial for you for Rib Fest as well as yourself to come get involved, we're all ears to try and make as many partnerships like that work as we can.
Sounds good. Erica Moscow from Wood Buffalo Rib Fest. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, again, just on the positive that I'm super excited for this event. I know it's become a bit of a tradition for a lot of Fort McMurray families. We're excited to see it happening on a new weekend. Hopefully, I think there'll even be more people in town before the end of the school year, and I think it's just going to be a great way to kick off your summer.
Sounds good, Erica. Well, we're looking forward to it. Thank you so much for the time here to chat about Rib Fest today.
Thank you so much. Hope you have a great day.
We'll be back with more next on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today, Gaylene Wydlick, the Executive Director of the Wood Buffalo Community Foundation. Gaylene, how are you doing here today?
I'm fabulous. Thank you for having me on, Ryan.
Hey, great to have you on here today, Gaylene. Tell us about the work that the Wood Buffalo Community Foundation does.
Absolutely. So the Wood Buffalo Community Foundation, we are a funder within the region, and we're basically like the hub between donors and charities. What our model is actually a little bit different than some other groups in that we most of the donations that we receive are endowed, so they're basically invested. And then every year, a portion of that endowment is granted out to charities. So even if we don't raise any money in a given year, we are still able to grant to charities and support the work that they do to make Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo better.
I understand the Wood Buffalo Community Foundation was established in 2017, so still a rather new organization. What are some of the major projects the Community Foundation has been a part of in that time?
Yes, we are very young. There are actually over 200 community foundations across Canada. So we are part of a very large network and have access to a lot of knowledge and some external granting streams as well. So since we were established in 2017, we manage over $5 million in endowed funds, and we've granted out over $2 million to the region. Part of those granting initiatives have included things like the Gender Equality Fund, the Community Services Recovery Fund, and the Emergency COVID Support Fund. Those last two were very reactionary to the COVID years, and we were very honored to be part of that those programs and those initiatives.
Can you share some of those success stories or impactful outcomes resulting from the foundation's efforts recently?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So part of our community grants, it's an annual grant cycle, some of the outcomes from those have been very, very impressive. So for example, a few years ago, we were able to fund the mobile outreach unit for the Center of Hope. And that is the little van that's running around town to meet the clients where they're at for the Center of Hope to provide the services that they do. The other one that was really important for us and for the community as well, for the Fort McMurray Public School Division back in 2022, has a program called the Regulation in Youth, and it is a program that we funded through the community grants, and it is regulating emotions within children, basically teaching the teachers how to recognize and help the students work through some really complicated emotions. And it has been very impactful, and it is a program that is ongoing, and that they continue to see improvements every year within the through the school system.
Last year, the Community Foundation received some money for the Emergency Relief Fund for Fort Chipewyan. How was that funding utilized?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you raised that. The Emergency Relief Fund is actually a new flow-through fund that we established last year in response to the Fort Chipewyan wildfires. The donations that we received from just general people here within the region to corporations generously donated, and we received over $137,000. So we engaged with Mikisew Cree First Nation, Athabasca First Nation, and the Fort Chipewyan Métis Nation, the executive level, to learn more about the community needs. And I am very grateful for sharing their knowledge and providing guidance on the release of these funds. So very proud to say also that we have provided $90,000 for the pantry restock kit, and those are the kits that went out to every community member who wanted one, things like cleaning supplies and food, the basic necessities that one needs when they return back home after an event like that. The remaining funds will be used for community events such as a mental health workshop or get together, and that is yet to be determined by the First Nation and Métis. And it's good to remember that in any emergencies. Situations like this, the Wood Buffalo Community Foundation, we do have a good pulse on community, but we don't know everything. So we want to ensure to engage with communities to the best of our ability and to really understand and listen for what their needs are. And this was another example was the Ukrainian Support Fund. When the war broke out in Ukraine and we started seeing Ukrainian evacuees come to Fort McMurray, we worked with the Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Society here and set up a flow-through fund to support the needs of Ukrainian families that are moving here and need things like rent support or driving lessons, things that to help them get back on their feet. So we were grateful for that opportunity as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the consultation process of utilizing that emergency relief funding, because, again, it's not just as easy as, spending the money.
No, it's not. And as I mentioned, we do have a good, working knowledge of the community that community is in our name. But we want to be able to make sure that we meet community where they're at and that we provide the funding to where the needs really, really are.
You're accepting community and environment grant applications right now. What should people know about those grants?
Absolutely, yes. And it is always an exciting time of year for us. So, grant applications are open from April 8th to May 15th. We set target areas every year, and every year the target areas can change. This year, the target area is specifically for programs or projects that provide professional mental health, addictions, and recovery support. Preference will be given to youth, seniors, and Indigenous-led and or Indigenous-serving organizations. The other unique thing about this target area is that we're also offering to successful applicants up to $5,000 for professional development training. And this is one thing that we've seen is that, in any budget, when things get when things tighten up and you have to cut, professional development training is usually one of those first things that get cut, and it's one of the most important to continuing the work of a charitable organization. So charities can apply online. They can visit our website at wbcfoundation.ca to learn more about the target areas and the application process. We also have the Shell Albion Sands Environment Grant. This is actually generously provided by the Edmonton Community Foundation, and it is for environmental initiatives within this region. Things like renewable energy, energy conservation, conservation, climate change, land habitat, wildlife conservation, and we are receiving applications for that too.
So what are some upcoming things the Community Foundation is working on?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Vital Signs, actually. So Vital Signs is a very unique program to community foundations across Canada. We started ours in 2022, and that was our sort of a baseline viewpoint. Vital Signs is basically the high-level umbrella view of what is happening within the region using statistical data from the federal stats and incorporating that to a values-based model, also hitting the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So you can find more information on that at vitalsignsfmwb.com. And it is really easy to use, user-friendly. It's basically data and information about everything from the average household income, average age, youth living in poverty, food security issues. There's so much information in there, and it is easy to use. It is accessible and free for everyone to use. So highly encourage you to look into that. Vital Signs was used last year for conversations and the establishment of also for the Newcomer and Immigrant Support Fund. So out of the work that we did with the Ukrainian Support Fund, we noticed a lot of gaps within supports and funding for newcomers and immigrants coming to our region. So we wanted to have some of those conversations with communities about what that could look like, what are the gaps, what are we doing well, and we formulated a Newcomer and Immigrant Support Fund that will eventually be able to provide funding for projects and programs that are working in that space. This year, our focus is on mental health. So in October, we will be releasing a Vital Signs report on mental health within this region. And we're actually very proud to be working with Few Social and the Tomorrow Project cohort on this initiative as well.
Gaylene Weidlich, the Executive Director of the Wood Buffalo Community Foundation. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
Yes, it's just it's wonderful to be working with generous donors that have contributed so wonderfully over the years to not only our organization, but to all the charities doing the amazing work here. If there's anyone who wants to learn more about our organization or charitable work that's happening within the community, or, you know, learn more about what endowments are, they can certainly reach out to me at through our website at wbcfoundation.ca, or give me a phone call at 780-598-2050, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Great stuff, Gaylene. Thank you so much for the time here today.
Thank you, Ryan.
More Fort McMurray Matters is coming up next after the break.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Staff Sergeant Sabrina Clayton from the Wood Buffalo RCMP. Staff Sergeant, how's it going here today?
Good, Ryan. How are you?
Doing well. Let's talk about safe exchange zones. Relatively new thing for the Wood Buffalo RCMP. For starters, what is a safe exchange zone?
Well, a safe exchange zone is literally a designated space in our parking lot, in the public parking lot out front of the detachment, where those that are conducting buy and sell, if they're concerned about meeting at their home or elsewhere, they can actually meet the buyer or purchaser, however you want to look at it. The seller, the buyer, can meet there in our parking lot in a relatively safe area. That's essentially what a safe exchange zone is.
So what motivated the RCMP to establish the safe exchange zones in Alberta, and what are the primary objectives for these zones?
Well, these safe exchange zones actually have been implemented at various police stations and detachments across the province for the last number of years, but it's become very prevalent these days. It's kind of at the forefront of what we're looking at. Again, you know, meeting people online that you don't know, again, like I said, coming to your home, you know, there's cause for concern for people's safety. So we've set up these areas to promote attending the detachment to conduct your business. Again, it's not in the detachment, it's not under supervision of a police officer, but it is in the parking lot out front. One of the big things that we always talk about for red flags for people is if somebody were not willing to meet you to conduct a business in the parking lot of a police station, that should throw up a red flag for a person. So again, these zones are clearly marked. They're outside the detachments with parking stalls. I did send those photos out, so if anybody wants to drive by and take a look, they are two designated spots with signs outside of the front of the Timberlea detachment at 105 Paquette. And they're in well-marked areas. Residents don't need to contact the detachment to use the site. It can be used 24/7. And you just have to let the other person know that's where you'd like to meet to conduct your business.
22 of Alberta's Eastern District detachments have these in place, but I understand they're also in other locations around Alberta you were mentioning. Is this something that we could see kind of expand across the country?
Potentially. I think it's something that most people are concerned about. Like I said, other police jurisdictions have them as well as elsewhere in Alberta. So it's going to be more common, I think, than not. Again, it's a safe space that people can meet to just conduct those online purchases. Custody exchanges, visitation arrangements, that kind of thing. So it's a safe space.
I'm glad you mentioned the safe exchange and, you know, custody exchanges as well. I imagine that, you know, is that an issue in the Wood Buffalo region, is, you know, having that safe spot to make those exchanges?
I think it's important for every community to have a safe space, regardless of what it's for. And again, custody exchanges can be, you know, contentious. It's tough for kids, it's tough for parents, right? So if you can provide somebody with that safe space and potentially access to police, because we are 24/7, there are police in the building, if something were to happen or you need police right away, we are physically right at that location, and which could help.
Could there ever be a circumstance where the RCMP get involved during an exchange in the safe exchange zone?
Absolutely. Depending on what it would be, a case-by-case circumstances, but absolutely we can get involved. Again, we're talking about safety for people. So if there is a safety concern, absolutely we would get involved.
What advice would you offer to individuals who are considering using this safe exchange zone for their transactions, and how can they best ensure a safe and secure exchange experience?
Well, at the end of the day, again, if someone's not willing to meet you in a public place and or a public place that's a police station, that should throw up a red flag. So don't send out any e-transfers or any money in exchange in advance. Simply advise that person you're meeting that that's where you'd like to meet, is outside the safe exchange zone at the detachment. The safe exchange zone is important to know that it's not specifically monitored by the detachment. Like, we don't sit there, we're not watching out the window, and there's not surveillance cameras pointed at it, obviously for people's privacy reasons, but detachment officers are available if anyone ever needs assistance. So again, though, if we do witness any criminal activity, there is a potential for police to have enforcement action as well.
While I got you on the phone, Staff Sergeant, the Alberta RCMP looking to hit the brakes on speeding, as that's the traffic safety spotlight for Alberta RCMP. How big is an issue is speeding in the Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo area?
You know, speeding is a huge area, huge issue for our area, and everywhere, especially as we get into spring, right? The ground is, you know, dry, the roads look clear, there might be gravel, but we're not really worried about ice. So, you know, the time of year where we get to open the windows and it gets that feeling of open road and driving faster. We do have a significant issue with speeding in our community. As people know, we no longer have the photo radar automated traffic enforcement here in the community, but we always have police officers, law enforcement, bylaw, and sheriffs that conduct speeding operations. Speeding kills people. People driving too fast, speed limits are set for the design of the road, for the engineering of the road. And things that you may not realize are one of the reasons that speed limits are set. And that's specifically set for when the conditions are perfect. Again, slow down. You know, speeding up, passing somebody, and then meeting them at a red light, people always see that every day, day in and day out, regardless of if there's a police officer around. So again, slow down, especially this time of year. We are in spring, so we have the movement of wildlife again, more wildlife on the roads, you know, and that lower light hours as we get into twilight hours. When people are speeding, you're just not going to be able to stop in time to avoid those collisions.
You mentioned the no more photo radar for the Wood Buffalo area. Is that going to be a concern at all this summer and spring with, you know, speedsters out there on the roads?
Again, law enforcement officers are out there every day, so it's just a change in how we're doing business here in the community. The photo radar contributed to a portion of traffic safety, but as we all know, getting stopped right when you've done the speeding, almost like getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar, is more than likely more effective than getting a ticket in the mail months down the road. So again, those police officers are out there every day trying to enforce the speed limit, because speeding does kill people.
Sounds good. Staff Sergeant Sabrina Clayton from the Wood Buffalo RCMP. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
I think that's it, Ryan.
Awesome. Well, always good to chat with you, Sabrina, and we'll get you on the show again sometime soon. Thanks so much for your time here today.
Sounds great, Ryan. Thank you.
That was our show for today. Big thank you to my guests for taking the time to join me on the show. That does it for a full week of shows here on Fort McMurray Matters. I hope you enjoyed them. We'll be back next week with some more great content for you over the noon hour here on Play 103.7. Thank you for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Ryan McNally. Have yourself a good day.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.